Foul Ball Area Podcast, the official podcast of the Rockingham County Baseball League. I'm your host, Matthew Atkins. Nick Stevens is with me again today as we're getting ready to go over everything that happened in the past week of County League action. Nick, how are you doing?
Good. How are you doing? Good to be
back. I'm good. Yeah, it's good to be back in the studio doing this again. And we actually have stuff to talk about this week because there weren't as many rainouts as last week.
Yeah, finally a little bit of baseball before the last couple of days, but hopefully this week we'll have even more baseball to talk about.
Yeah,
it was a good week last week.
It was some good baseball, and we've got a little bit to talk about, so we'll just pick up right where we left off. Last Wednesday night, there were a couple of games. Broadway was at Elkton. They defeated Elkton 5-2. Cole Holsinger threw a complete game, gave up 2 runs on 3 hits, struck out 11, which was the season high at the time. Dwyer Neal was at that game for us. She had wrote a good article about it. You can find that on the RCBL website. Clover Hill defeated Newmarket on Wednesday night 10-5. The Shockers led 4-2 until the 6th, when Clover Hill scored 5 runs in the 6th inning, 3 in the 7th. They scored 10 runs on 10 hits in the game, but they still had trouble leaving guys on base. The Bucks left 15 stranded in Wednesday's game. Were you at that game at all?
Yeah, I was there for a little bit, saw. I was excited to watch Nick Corbin pitch, actually, for Clover Hill, but Newmarket's offense, which has been exploding here the last couple of days, they got to him a little bit, but yeah, I think like you mentioned, that's one of the big issues I'm seeing with Clover Hill a lot is that they get guys on base and then, you know, 2 outs come out and they can't seem to bring them home.
Yeah, so they ended up winning the game, but some issues getting runners home, getting, you know, situational hitting going. But Clover Hill having a pretty good season so far. We'll talk a little bit more about them in a second. On Thursday night, Grottoes was playing Stewart's Draft at home at Shiflett Field. They won 7-1. And I think you were at that game as well.
Yeah, I was there. It was nice to be back at Grottoes again for the first time this year. I know their schedule hasn't been too favorable to them. I think they opened up with a couple games against Draft and Clover Hill. But, you know, it's a young team. But the biggest takeaway I got from that game was that Grottoes showed a lot of patience at the plate. I think they drew 8 walks on the night. And that's huge, especially early on in the season. I know it takes a while for the bats to warm up, but they got a young squad over there, but they showed big patience at the plate, which I think could carry them a long way this year.
Well, it led them to a 7-1 victory over Stewart's Draft at home on Thursday night. So Grottoes got a win over the Diamondbacks at home. Friday night was a big night. 3 games going on. Newmarket just demolished Montezuma 20-1. We didn't have anybody at that game, but a 20-1 victory for the Shockers over the Braves. That's huge.
Yeah, I know we were both at, I think all three of us were at the Montezuma-Stewart's Draft game when Montezuma fell pretty hard there in 7 innings. Yeah, 20 runs. I don't care what level of baseball you're at. 20 runs is just astronomical.
Well, I was at the, on Friday night, I was at the Broadway game against Bridgewater, and Broadway was winning 9-1, and I was broadcasting that game on the radio with Carl Magenhofer, and we decided to look at the scoreboard, see what other games were going on, and we thought that we had a big game going on 9-1. Then we see 20-1 over in Montezuma. So a rough game for the Braves, but the Shockers with a huge offensive victory there. And like I said, I was at the Broadway game against Bridgewater. It was a good game between the Bruins and the reigning champions. And Logan Morrison, on his way to earning Pitcher of the Week, he threw 6 innings, gave up 1 run on 3 hits, and struck out 14 batters in that game. Dan Fry was 4-for-4 with 2 singles, a double, and a home run, just a triple short of the cycle. Had 4 RBIs in that game, so a pretty good performance from Broadway. And Logan Morrison was just phenomenal on the mound that night. After the game, I caught up with head coach Justin Getz of the Broadway Bruins to talk about Morrison's performance and what he saw out of Dan Fry that night. So a 9-1 win over Bridgewater. The offense was terrific tonight. Logan Morrison and John Judy on the mound were terrific. What stuck out to you the most from your team tonight?
There's nothing that you can really pinpoint for the most. It was a game that we needed. The guys weren't squaring a lot of baseballs up so far. It's still early, but tonight they squared a bunch of stuff up, and it was a confidence builder for them. The pitching was great all the way around. Judy did a heck of a job coming in to close it out. Logan pitched a heck of a game, hitting his spots all the way around. We played good defense, so all the way around it was just a good game for us, good confidence builder. But
your pitching's been there all season so far with Cole Holsinger. Had a great game the other night, and then Logan Morrison just – What are your thoughts on your pitching so far this season?
We've got good pitchers. They're guys that we've brought back from last year. We've added a couple new arms. They don't mind going long distances. And then our bullpen come behind them is just as good. So it's, we got confidence in those guys, and they got confidence in themselves. And they know once they get on that mound and they grab the ball, that it's game on. And those are, they're fighters, and that's the kind of guys I like to have.
What'd you tell Logan out of, when you went out to the mound conference? It seemed like after you walked out of that conference, he had a couple more strikeouts just right after that. So what'd you tell him?
I just told him to keep his head up. He was getting a little tired. He was up there in pitches, and that's kind of when your mental side of it kind of starts to shut down a little bit. So I just told him to keep his head up, keep pounding the zone, and reach back and trust your stuff. And that's exactly what he did. He had good stuff all night long. So.
And then Dan Fry had a great game also, just a triple short of the cycle. Just what'd you like out of him?
Well, tonight was the first night he started squaring stuff up and hitting the ball. So he's got great potential. He's a good hitter. He's a good five-tool baseball player, and he's a good guy to have on the roster. But tonight was exciting to watch him, and that's what you'll see the rest of the season. I mean, when he gets hot, he's going to be hot. So he'll be exciting to watch, keep track of.
All right, thanks, Coach. So that was head coach Justin Getz following Broadway's 9-1 victory over the Reds. Another game that was going on Friday night, the one that you were at, Clover Hill took on the Elkton Blue Sox.
Yeah, I was there. Corey Armantrout was on the mound. It's always a fun game to watch him pitch. I think reigning pitcher of the year last year. I don't think he had any strikeouts his first start of the year. I think I went back and looked at that, but I think he had 11 against Elkton. I mentioned in my article on the website how his changeup, he yanked the strings on that thing all night long, threw a clinic with it. It was a pitcher's duel until the end of the game there, seventh or eighth inning, where Clover Hill, that's kind of been their MO this year. They wait till the end of the game and they mount this huge comeback. And I think they got to the Elkton bullpen and scored six or seven runs in one frame. Ross French, I wanted to highlight him. Ross French has been one of the hottest hitters in the league, I think, over the last couple of days. He had a play late in the game. It was still 0-0. Both teams were struggling to get hits. Both pitchers were throwing amazing games. And Ross had a little slap bunt he did, kind of a slap drag bunt that he did, and he dove towards first base, which is a pet peeve of mine to put that out there. But he dove to first base, was called safe, beat the throw out, and that changed the whole momentum of the game. And it's carried over for him over the last couple of days, too.
I was looking at the score of that game throughout the night, and it was reminding me of last season when those two teams played in the quarterfinals. And the game three between the Bucks and the Blue Sox went to the ninth inning tied at zero, I think. And this game went to, what, the sixth or seventh inning tied at zero?
Yeah, it was close the entire night. I think Elkton, Elkton pitching staff, they don't have any guys like real flashy pitchers, I wouldn't say, but they're grinders. And both pitchers played extremely smart baseball all night long.
So big night Friday night with three games going on. And then Saturday night, another big night for Newmarket especially. A 13-3 win over Grottoes. So in two games, they scored 33 runs. That's that's a lot of offense for the Shockers.
I don't know what Coach Rush said at practice or before a game one day, but whatever he said, it's starting to work. It's starting to cook over there in Newmarket.
It worked. 13-3 win over Grottoes on Saturday for the Shockers. I was out at Montezuma where the Braves were hosting the Reds. Bridgewater bounced back with an 11-1 victory over Montezuma. Tucker Garrison was 3-for-4 with 2 runs and 2 RBIs in the game. The Reds racked up 14 total hits in that victory on Saturday night. Tyler Bocock was on the mound for Bridgewater through 6 innings, gave up only 1 run on 6 hits. So a pretty good performance from the Reds that night. And I caught up with Reds manager Robert Scherfe after the game. So big 11-1 win over Montezuma tonight, bouncing back from last night's loss against Broadway. How's it feel to get that win tonight?
Oh, it feels good. I mean, nothing to worry about. We just had a long time off from last week, 3 rainout games, hadn't swung a bat since 8 days ago. So we knew we'd be a little bit rusty to begin with. So last night it showed a little bit, but tonight we come in with a different mentality. It's time to get up and go. A little more pep in the step, and the boys showed it tonight with a bat. So good game for everyone.
You were missing a couple of players in your lineup last night. Were they just busy, or what was going on?
Yes, it was our week that we kind of had a slack week that we didn't have any games. So the guys took advantage of that and took their time off to where I could have them throughout the rest of the season. So they had made their plans way ahead of time.
Is this the kind of performance you're going to expect from your team the rest of the season going forward?
Oh, yeah. Every game. That's what we come here to do. We'll grind her out all the time. So we come to win at every game. We just play the game and have fun.
You think the postponements and all the changes to the schedule, how do you think it's going to affect the team?
We'll battle through it. I mean, we know it's there every year, so you just got to go with it, and you got to make adjustments and show up and play baseball.
All right. Thanks, Coach.
Thank you, sir.
So that was Bridgewater manager Robert Scherfe following the Reds' 11-1 win over Montezuma, bouncing back from the loss to Broadway the night before. The other game going on that night, I was kind of jealous of you, Nick, because I wanted to be at this game. Clover Hill was at Broadway, and what did you see at that game?
Broadway can hit the baseball. I think Coach Kofer went deep into his staff. I think he went with Jesse Showalter, I think, got the nod that night. But I tell you, Broadway had 6 or 7 hits within the first couple innings, and they were barrels. They were ripping them in between first and second base, in between third and short. I think Luke Shiflett's jersey was muddled after the first inning diving for baseballs. They hit the ball. They hit the ball well. I think it was their first home game also. They got a fun atmosphere out there on Broadway now. I think when I went back and looked, you know, 2015, 2016, I think, were the 2 years. They won 4 combined games. They've already, they're 4-1 this year, and it's a pretty hyped atmosphere down there. A lot of good fan support down there. They were hitting the ball extremely well.
I had been talking to people, you know, early on in the season, saying that the thing that really impressed me from Broadway was their pitching so far. But the past couple of games, their hitting has been phenomenal, and their victory over Bridgewater and then the win over Clover Hill the other night. So they're really showing how complete of a team they are, and they are a good team this year. I think they're half a game back behind Clover Hill, and it's still early, but they're half a game out of first place early on in the season. And it is a good atmosphere out there. I was out there on a Saturday afternoon. They were hosting a youth baseball camp, and I was talking to some of the guys out there, and they said that they're trying to build up the environment, the atmosphere for Broadway Bruins baseball.
Yeah, I mean, when every batter comes up, it's loud music. It's hyped music. Trying to get the crowd involved, doing the giveaways, just the whole thing. I think Coach Getz, I really love what he's done with the team. Guys coming out in the dugout after every play, congratulating their guys. It's really fun, and there's not a hole in that lineup, I don't think. And with Logan Morrison, like you mentioned earlier, on the mound, he's really stepping up, and he's an early candidate, I think, for, you know, pitcher of the year if he keeps playing like this.
Yeah, I mean, the couple of pitching performances that he's had so far have been really good, especially that 14 strikeout performance against Bridgewater. That was amazing to watch. So that's everything that we have to talk about for last week. Sunday and Monday night of this week each got rained out. Every game that was supposed to be played those two nights got rained out. And then last night, Tuesday night, there were supposed to be 3 games. It was supposed to be Clover Hill at Grottoes, but that got rained out. Bridgewater at Stewart's Draft, but that was a makeup, and it got rained out. And then Newmarket at Broadway was the only game that ended up being played on Tuesday night. So I was at that game between the Shockers and the Bruins, and it was a pretty good game. They'd already played twice this season, and they split the series so far. And in last night's game, Newmarket took the lead in the top of the 4th on a Nick Good RBI single. They added 2 more runs in the top of the 6th, so it was really a pitcher's duel for a couple of innings there. And then in the 7th inning, Broadway scored 3 runs to tie it. Newmarket added another run in the 8th to take a 4-3 lead. In the 8th inning, there was a very controversial call, though, as Bryce Stroudeman hit the ball to left field. The left fielder dropped it. A run scored. Then the left fielder threw it to third and second to get 2 force outs to end the inning. And so because of those force outs, the umpires ruled that the run did not count, and the score went back to 4-3, Newmarket leading. So it was a very controversial call, lots of arguing, fans were very upset, and the game went into the 9th with Newmarket leading by 1 run. In the bottom of the 9th, Broadway scored a run after Kevin Rush walked, and Dan Fry came around to score. I think it was a pass ball. And he came around to score on that play. And then Matt Mieser came up to bat with runners on first and second. And he hit a walk-off single to give Broadway the 5-4 win over Newmarket. A very exciting game. Very controversial call in the 8th inning. After the game, I caught up with Broadway manager Justin Getz for the second time this week. And he was pretty excited about the win. So, Coach, I think it's the second interview I have on this week's podcast with you. But a walk-off win over Newmarket. What do you think that comeback win says about your team this year?
They don't have any quit. It's just they don't. Like I keep saying, they mesh well. They love playing together. It's just the chemistry on this team is unreal. They don't have any quit.
It was a close game, kind of a pitcher's duel early on, and in this kind of game, how important is it to score runs, like any chance you get?
It's top notch. It's exactly what you want to do. Any opportunity that you get to score a run, you have to take advantage of it. They threw a good guy. He's got our number. He's a good pitcher. He knows how to locate his pitches. He knows his stuff and how it moves. We threw a good pitcher coming out. It wasn't really – we're kind of shy. We've been playing so many games back-to-back with our rainout dates and all that stuff. And we've got five more coming up starting Friday. So it wasn't really the pitching staff that I wanted to throw out there, but it was what we had and what we had to work with. And they did a heck of a job, an outstanding job. And that's what you ask for out of these guys day in and day out. When you get in those situations where you might not expect to start, you have to step up into that role, and Nathan did a heck of a job. So did everybody coming in behind him. But, yeah, you're right. You have to score in those situations every opportunity you get. We didn't do so for a little while. It took us a while to get on the board, but we did. Once we started rolling, we got into their bullpen a little bit, and that's what it took, because you're not going to knock Bentley out of the ballgame very easily. He's not going to go easy.
There was that controversial call in the, I think it was the eighth inning with the force out at second. What was happening there?
So basically we put it under protest, and that, I guess all that's null and void now. But basically left fielder drops or doesn't catch the ball. We score a run on the play. If our runner establishes second base and moves back towards first base side, that turns basically into a pickle. So it turns into a tag play. So that's what we were discussing with the umpires. Is it a tag play or is it a force play? And we had our conversation about it, and I ended up protesting it. And luckily we came back and walked it off. We don't have to worry about that anymore.
So you guys are 5-1 now. And with the win over Clover Hill, you guys have the tiebreaker. So you're first place now. And it's still early in the season, but how good does that feel, first place in the West?
It feels good. I don't know. I cannot remember a time that we've been there. And it coming from two wins, fighting to get two wins a couple years ago, it feels really good for the guys who have been around for a little while. And these young guys that are new this year, they know where we've been, and we've told them all the history and everything like that. So they're pumped about it. It creates momentum. You're right. We're early in the season. There's a lot that's going to happen. We're going to go out tonight some nights and get beat up, and we're going to come out nights and beat some people up. So still early to tell before the All-Star break, but it feels good being in first place. Like I said, it's the first time I've been there. Coming from the bottom to the top right now, you can't really hold on to it too much, but you do have to enjoy it while you have it.
And how about Matt Mazur, the hero of the game, hitting the walk-off single in the ninth?
That was incredible. That was everything we asked for. He knew the situation. He knew the pitcher. He's seen him a couple of times. He really stepped up when we needed him. He's that type of guy too. He likes the pressure situations, and he proved it tonight too.
So. All right, thanks, Coach.
See you.
So that was Broadway manager Justin Getz following the Bruins 5-4 walk-off win over New Market last night. Tonight we've got two games. As Clover Hill heads to Stewart's Draft for the first time this season, I believe. You'll be there, Nick, covering that game between the Bucks and the Diamondbacks.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that, seeing those two teams. Every single year, every single time these two teams play each other, doesn't matter if it's game one or in the championship series, every game feels like a championship series game when those two teams square off against each other.
Always a good matchup between those two teams. Elkton is on the road tonight at Montezuma. I'll be there for the RCBO online game of the week. I think Mike Bocock will be joining me. We'll be broadcasting that one online at rcbobaseball.com. You can listen live at 7:30 tonight. Elkton at Montezuma should be a good game. So, like I said earlier, I was out at Broadway on Saturday afternoon. They were hosting a youth baseball camp. That was pretty cool. I don't know if you saw any of the pictures that they tweeted out of that or anything, but it was
I was following along and seeing what they're doing. I thought it was cool to even see guys like Danny Grogg out there, the whole team getting involved with the local kids, and I think that's awesome. They even had one of the kids was the honorary bad boy at the game that night. So I think that was pretty cool. I really enjoy going out to Broadway and doing stuff like that, getting the little kids involved, I think was awesome.
Yeah, I was out there for a little bit Saturday afternoon, and I took a second to talk to Broadway High School head coach Tim Turner and Broadway assistant coach and Clover Hill player Danny Grogg. So I caught up with them a little bit to talk about the camp and what exactly they were doing there, and it was pretty cool. So I'm with Coach Turner of Broadway High School, and we're out at the baseball camp you guys have going on with the Broadway Bruins. And what do you expect from today's baseball camp?
Well, Matt, you know, I expected a good turnout, and it looks like we have a good turnout. We have about 45 kids here, ranging in age from 5 to 13. and most of these kids are Broadway community kids. We've got a couple kids from over in Luray, I believe. But, you know, as far as being able to do something like this is a privilege for us as the high school baseball program here at Broadway and the Broadway Bruins of the County League in conjunction with each other. Brian Duff, this was his brainchild earlier on in the season. He put all this together and asked us to come out, my staff to come out, and his Bruins staff and his Bruins players to come out and do this. And so far, we're halfway through it right now. And so far, I think it's been very beneficial. The kids are having fun. And, you know, we just want to present our programs to the community and give these guys a little head start on maybe what's going on further down the road for them in baseball, and kind of start at the beginning and go over fundamentals and from the ground up. And so I think it's a great experience for them, and it's certainly a great experience for us.
I see a couple of Bruins players here. Do you have any of your high school players here today?
I do, and several of my high school players play on the Bruins. But, yeah, I've got my full staff here, and we've got three or four Broadway high school players here working also.
How do you think it's going to be beneficial for the high school and the Bruins to have this kind of relationship now going forward?
You know, I think as a community, the more we can be us together instead of our own little factions going on. And we try to do that with the high school program tries to communicate and offer assistance to the local Little League as much as we can. And I think with Brian being the president of the Bruins now, he sees that as an opportunity to reach out and say, hey, we're the County League Broadway Bruins. And from my standpoint, as far as the high school coach here, anytime you can offer something back to the baseball community, it's a good thing. And out of these 45 kids, and we hope to continue to do this each year, but out of these 45 kids, I know there are kids that each of our organizations will see at some point, and they'll remember being out here, we'll remember them. And if they pick up one or two things that can help them become better ball players, then we've done our job.
All right, thanks, Coach. I appreciate your time.
Hey, thanks, man. Take care.
So we got Danny Grogg, your assistant coach for Broadway High School.
Yes, sir.
And you're out here at the Gobblers Bruins baseball camp. Is this about the turnout you expected, better than you expected today?
Of course, yeah. I mean, we got around 50 kids, which it's good. I think one of the big things as a high school baseball coach and just loving baseball in general is just to see how many kids at this young of an age are still participating in baseball, because you see around the area, the teams that are successful have successful little leagues. And I think most of being successful in little league is making it fun and making the kids want to come out, and seeing 50 kids wanting to come out here and be better and participate with the Bruins and with Broadway baseball, it's awesome to see, and that's why we do it.
So what kind of things do you have the kids doing today? What kind of drills?
We started off the morning with, we split up into three stations. We did hitting, infielding and outfielding, and then at the end before lunch we just had a little fun and did some last man standing, and Coach Rush in the outfield did some bucket drills. We had to sink it into the bucket just to add a little bit of fun to it after we kind of sat them down, and it was more instruction, because kids at this age, their attention span, you can't keep them for so long, so we had to make it a little fun there at the end before lunch.
So let's talk about Clover Hill a little bit. 5-0, only undefeated team, big win over Elkton last night. How's the team feeling?
We're feeling good. The team that we have this year is just meshing very good right now. The start to the season, it's been good. Coach Kofer said from the beginning that we're a second-half baseball team, and that's been proven lately as of late. Like last night, we didn't score till the seventh. And sometimes in nine-inning baseball games, like Coach Kofer always says, three-inning sprints. And we have to stay in at every three innings, and we're doing a good job right now. And our bullpen right now is keeping us in ball games. They're throwing very well, and we are blessed as a baseball team right now to have the pen and the pitching that we do.
And you guys will be here against the Bruins tonight. There's no rule against socializing with the team the day before a game?
No, I don't think so. I like hanging out with these guys. Being in the Broadway area, I get to see these guys when they show up towards the end of our season. And when it comes down to RCBL, when you step onto the field, it's competition. But as everyone else knows in the league, you got a bunch of friends that play in this league, and I think that's what's fun. You get to play against former players, you get to play against friends, and I think that's what makes the league good. But when it boils down to it tonight, it's going to be competition when we step on the field, because like Brady Duff was telling me in here, he said it's a battle for first place tonight, and we're not coming to be friends tonight. We're coming to win the ball game.
Are there guys on the Bruins team that you coach?
There's a couple. Bryce Turner, he's on the team. He's a junior, rising senior. He'll be on the Broadway team next year. Ben Reed, who's doing a lot of the bullpen catching for the Bruins, he's on the team. And Brady Duff as well. He was a senior the year before I got here, but I coached him in football as well. So I know a lot of them, even though I didn't coach them. But it's been good to see him out here today.
All right, thanks, Danny.
You're welcome.
So it's Broadway High School head coach Tim Turner and Clover Hill player Danny Grogg at Broadway, their youth camp that they put on Saturday afternoon for the Little League in Broadway. Anything else you want to talk about before we sign off today? I know that some exciting super regionals in college baseball this weekend.
Yeah, I don't know if you guys saw what happened in Florida and Auburn last night.
I was watching that, yeah.
Yeah, off the right fielder's glove of Auburn in the bottom of the ninth inning, a walk-off home run. I could not imagine being that outfielder this morning.
I feel so bad for him. But I saw his teammates, they all went up to him and hugged him, kind of consoling him, letting him know this, you know, it's okay. Like, I think that was good, but man, that was rough.
Tough break. No, I think I was pretty shocked. I was kind of sad to see Stetson go down. I know I've been following that series pretty closely, but UNC looks sharp from top to bottom. I kind of watched Texas. I love what, I think, is it Cody Clemens?
Yeah.
Cody Clemens, what he's doing. I hadn't really followed Texas baseball. I know he's the son of Roger Clemens. But to see what he was doing, Texas looks pretty dangerous too down there in this, now that they're in the final eight here.
Yeah, they do. And the Mississippi State Vanderbilt Super Regional, that was really exciting. I think two walk-off home runs in each of the first two games, and then the third game went to extra innings. Mississippi State ended up winning 10-6, I think. But that was really exciting. I had never really followed college baseball that closely, and I've been watching it more this year because we had so many rainouts. I have so many nights off. I just get home and watch college baseball. But, I mean, it's so exciting. Those players get so into it. Like, they make a diving catch, and they're just celebrating right there on the field. They're so excited. It's fun to watch.
What I really loved, and I posted on Facebook and tweeted this out yesterday because I love this moment. I watched Tennessee Tech. You know, no one's heard of Tennessee Tech, and no disrespect, but, you know, no one's ever going to sit down and watch a Tennessee Tech baseball game. But I followed the Orioles really closely also. I noticed they had drafted the shortstop and the third baseman from Tennessee Tech. So I watched them in their game three yesterday, and the third baseman, Trevor Pudzik, I think was his name, drafted by the Orioles in the 10th or 11th round. He's limping out there on the field because he injured his hamstring. He almost pulled his hamstring the night before, and he's still out there diving for baseball, trying to sprint as fast as he can. And I love that. You don't really see that. I think a pitcher got thrown out later in the game. It might have been that game or another game. Pitcher gets thrown out, and he's crying out there on the mound. And you look at college football, and these guys are like, I might get drafted in 6 months. I'm going to sit out the bowl game. College baseball, gotta love it.
It's exciting. Exciting. Should be a good College World Series in Omaha. Who do you think's gonna win it?
I don't know. I think I'm still gonna stick with my Oregon State bet. Kind of looking into the draft that happened a little bit more. That middle infielder they have, Mandrigal, I think is his name, and he only struck out like 10 times all season. He's fascinating to watch. I think they have a shortstop who the Orioles drafted too. That's potential. You know, he's being touted as a Gold Glove Major League shortstop. I think I'm going to go Oregon State, though.
I think I'm going to go with Mississippi State. From what I've seen from them, they're pretty good. And I think it'd be cool if they won it. I like their program and everything they do down there in Mississippi. So I'm going to go with the Bulldogs.
Yeah, you take out Vanderbilt. You got the emotions right
yeah.
now.
Well, that's all we've got for you on this week's episode of Foul Ball Area. We recapped past week in County League action. Tonight we got Clover Hill at Stewart's Draft and Elkton at Montezuma. That's the RCBL online game of the week. Tune in at rcblbaseball.com. Thanks, Nick, for joining us. Thank you all for listening. We'll be back next week.